The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. It is Monday. A lot to recap over the weekend. China, cash is rapidly becoming obsolete. They are going to a cashless society. On Friday, we told you about a project that Visa is doing here in the United States. Charlie Gard's parents angry that the baby's lawyer is actually the head of a charity that backs assisted dying. Elon Musk warns governors over the weekend, AI is a fundamental risk to civilization. And attention, geeks like me. Doctor Who is happy about the change because next season he's changing into a woman. We begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I'll admit it, I'm a freak. I'm a Doctor Who geek. I've loved Doctor Who for the last 5 or 6 years. My son and I watch it. Last night, I found out the news. I went in and I told him. He put his head under his pillow. And just all I heard was, Doctor Who is, quote, excited about this change. The character that England enjoyed since the 1960s and America pretty much has ignored until recently, next season is changing into a woman. Now, frankly, I want to put this into perspective. I don't really care. I'm a fan of the show, but I can just stop watching the show. If it's a great story, that's all I care about. But I have to tell you, I am sick of the lecture that we all have to endure from producers of television shows that just want to show all the other producers that they can be the truly most politically corrected show or network of them all. After all, these TV shows are very important to humanity, you know. So let everyone hear from here to Alpha Centauri that the BBC is way, way far ahead of all other space police box-driving Time Lord Doctor shows. They are the most politically correct. Now, if America, who is always behind, could just get Captain Kirk to make it with a tap-dancing green man who has no legs, then all of the enlightened producers will have all the other characters refuse to point out that those green tap-dancing men with no legs cannot tap-dance, let alone dance, walk, or even move, because they have no feet or legs. Wow. That would sure teach those bigoted small-town dummies who watch, who the producers despise, a thing or two. Yes, how progressive our television shows can be. Then we can all truly be happy. Let us all toast to the end of all oppression. Well, except for the tiny problem of most of the women in the Middle East aren't allowed to drive or leave their house without a man. Or the fact that in some of those same countries, they beat gay men to death or throw them off of rooftops. That is if gays even exist. Iran claims that gayness is caused by the evil Western culture, and thus they have no gay people, except for those that they have to execute, beat to death, or throw off the roofs of buildings. But other than that, well, and the slaves that make your Apple iPhone, or the 6,000 women and children that are currently used as sex slaves by ISIS, this Doctor Who innovation is definitely going to be the end of all oppression. Even though there are currently more slaves than there were during the entire 400 years of the Western slave trade combined. But don't pay any attention, because Doctor Who is finally, and I say it again, finally, gender fluid. And, oh, it's going to be so good because we all need to be taught to be much more tolerant of gender fluidity, because it's one of the most important things in the entire Western world. It is what's holding Western civilization back from being as great as all of the other civilizations on planet Earth. Man, we are going to be remembered by historians in the best possible light. I can almost hear their voices now. Wow, these people really saw the truth, the cold, hard facts. They didn't scare this group of people off. Oh, no, sir. Not in 2017 or 2018, when they saw that the Western culture that had freed more people, fed more people, and more than doubled lifespans of all humans wouldn't have a female space alien doctor with two hearts on a TV show. Well, damn it, the BBC sprang into action and made all the difference in the world. Oh, sir. Those people were better than us today, I'll tell you that. They didn't waste a second. They fixed it, and then they called people bigots who thought it was all nonsense. And then they went on ignoring the actual death count and the suffering and the beatings and the beheadings and the root of the 8th century style oppression while watching Doctor Who or Doctor Her on their iPhone, which was made by Chinese slaves. Man. If we could just be more like those people that lived in 2017. Historians are going to say that. By the way, no animals were hurt in this monologue, and I or no one on the program did accept any money from the tobacco industry to depict smoking. However, Charlie Gard may be dead due to British socialized medicine death panels by the end of the week, but pay no attention. Doctor Who is gender fluid. I can't take our society anymore. We are actually talking now about who's this stupid singer that is running for Senate now? What's his name?
Kid Rock.
That's going to be so great. If we could just get the original cast from the MTV Real World, because they're probably one of those guys are probably old enough to be president now. If we could just get them to be president, oh. In fact, why don't we just make the White House the Real World? I mean, we could just have like a whole bunch of people, and they're all just all trying to be president. And we can just watch it and laugh and be entertained. Let's not really think of anything deep. Let's not actually discuss anything of meaning. Let's just have our shows lecture us. Let's just have all of our history books tell us how bad the Western way of life is. Because it's so good everywhere else. China, you know, is leading the way. China, you know, is really the model for what comes next. And, oh, I just want to go over there and just drink the pure water by cupping it out in my hands right out of the rivers. I just want to breathe deep the crystal clear air and be able to live my life and pursue my happiness the way the Chinese government allows you to. It's so fantastic. I'm glad we know up from down and left from right and right from wrong. Now this, Liberty Safe not only makes great safes, but they also make it easy to own one. Now at LibertySafe.com, you can buy a Liberty Safe at a great price and receive 12 months interest-free payments with zero down and 0% APR. They even offer Liberty Safes for as low as $15 a month. Liberty has been a sponsor on this program for 7 years now, and I have never seen a deal like that before. $15 a month for a Liberty Safe, zero down, zero APR. And there's nothing like the peace of mind that comes from owning a Liberty Safe. So do what I did. Have one installed in your home. They deliver, they install, they bolt it to the foundation. Ain't anybody getting into your Liberty Safe. Nobody's stealing your guns. Nobody's stealing your precious articles. And quite honestly, we have seen Liberty Safes bolted to the foundation where the entire house is burned down. And there is nothing wrong with it. This the chimney and the Liberty Safe, and they've opened it up, and everything else is still inside, and it's fine. We've seen Liberty Safes not bolted to the foundation, picked up by a tornado, dropped three blocks away. Still, it's closed. And you open it up, everything in it is fine. Have it installed in your home now for interest-free payments or as low as $15 a month on approved credit. Go there now, libertysafe.com, home of the best-built safes on the planet. It's libertysafe.com.
You're listening.
You're listening.
To the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Charlie Gard update. The parents have privately expressed their concern after discovering that the lawyer that has been appointed by the court to represent their 11-month-old son is the chairperson of Compassion in Dying, the sister organization to Dignity in Dying, which is campaigning for a change in the law to make assisted dying legal in the UK. Dignity in Dying is used to be called Voluntary Euthanasia Society. So the court didn't think it was a problem to appoint as Charlie Gard's attorney someone who is in charge of the euthanasia program in England. But I don't. Why would they have a problem with that? A source close to the parents said the family finds it astonishing that the court appointed the barrister to act in the interest of Charlie Gard as the chairman of Compassion in Dying, the sister body of Dignity in Dying. It looks like a profound conflict of interest. No. Here's what's amazing is they didn't know this before. Today, the American neurosurgeon who claims to have pioneered an experimental treatment who says he can help Charlie will examine him. He flew in from New York over the weekend. He examines him today. Compassion in Dying says it was wrong to suggest there's any conflict of interest between the role of the attorney in representing Charlie's guardian in court and her view that adults with full mental capacity should be allowed to plan their own death. The charity said there are clear differences between this in this case, the work of Dignity in Dying and the work of Compassion in Dying. Charlie Gard case is about making decisions in the best interest of a seriously ill child. Ah, okay. The high court ruled in April Charlie should be allowed to die with dignity. Isn't that the... Oh, no, see, it's completely different. She works for Dignity in Dying. The court just wanted him to die with dignity, which is, of course, the opposite.
So, no, it's the same. The words are just turned around.
No, it's the opposite. Dignity in Dying... And the court said they wanted him to die with dignity.
Rearranging the words.
No, it's a complete reversal.
You need to look up the word opposite. That's just amazing. That's just amazing.
Really, seriously, you know, I used to say you will not recognize your country. You won't recognize anything else. I don't even want to read the news anymore. So try this on for size. It was a performance art piece that became famous. A woman who felt that Columbia University had mishandled her charge of a rape against a fellow student turned that anger into her senior arts thesis, a year-long project in which she carried a 50-pound mattress whenever she was on the campus. The woman won national acclaim and was largely embraced by her fellow students who often helped her carry her burdened mattress. She even brought the mattress to the graduation ceremony in 2015. The accused man, who had been cleared of all responsibility in the case by the university, found himself alternately hounded and ostracized and condemned at a campus rally and on flyers posted around the campus. A month before she received their degrees, he sued Columbia, accusing it of supporting what he called an outrageous display of harassment and defamation. He said that the university may have gone too far by giving her academic credit for the art project. Thank God he won in court. Columbia has to pay.
She went on to do a very classy porn movie, didn't she? Jeffy? Do you remember that?
She was filmed with one of her other boyfriends, yeah.
Yeah, because we talked about this at the time. Yeah. She became a little bit of a porn queen.
Well, look, have sex on a camera. It's not always, you're not always a queen.
True.
But there was some sex going on the camera, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So she made use of that mattress.
Yes, she did
make use of the mattress.
Columbia recognizes, this is the quote from Columbia, Columbia recognizes that after the conclusion of the investigation, Paul's remaining time at Columbia became very difficult for him and not what Columbia would want any of its students to experience. Columbia will continue to review and update its policies towards ensuring that every student, accuser, and accused, including those like Paul, who are found not responsible, is treated respectfully and as a full member of the Columbia community. Oh.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since we first talked about that, but it seems like they had consensual sex, right, that she later regretted and then tried to say it was rape. It was something along those lines. You know,
well, no, you can be raped.
Saying
even
no
if you
after,
the after the fact is rape.
No.
No, yes, it is.
No.
You didn't understand dying with dignity with dying thing.
I
How do I expect you to understand rape after the fact?
You can't.
And I love the idea that he was cleared by the university. What the hell does a university have to do with a rape case?
Yeah,
Stop trying rape cases in college. They should go to the police. We have a justice system to figure out when people are raped or not. Ask the dean. Maybe he can tell us if she was raped.
Rabbit.
That's not how this is supposed to work.
Oh, I remember.
That's cute.
I remember
cute
when
too.
I was young and naive like that. Police don't understand the nuances of rape.
I would say they understand it better than most school administrators.
Well,
considering they're trained specifically.
Not when 1 in 9 women are raped on college campuses.
Okay. And how many?
1 in 9.
1 in 9. Wow.
Yes, that's how prevalent it is.
What do you mean?
It's actually more rape than
that's
people who are there.
So it's 9 and 1?
Yes, 9 and 1.
9 and 1.
1 and 9 is actually less than
1 in 9 is less than the 1 in 5. That's right. It's 9 in 1 women are raped.
Wow, that's terrible.
Yeah, at school.
It seems like people who work in law enforcement go through extensive training on how to find evidence on such cases, to interrogate witnesses.
No. In the old school, the police don't understand oppression.
And they don't understand white privilege.
Amen to that, brother.
Yeah. So,
the white college dean understands white privilege.
But yes.
The African American police officer.
He has to, or he'll lose his job.
Mm-hmm.
So he understands it better than most because white people would say overcompensates.
The white dean at the college may be more black than most black people.
And I'm sure they believe that about themselves.
I'll bet they do.
They do.
It's such an amazing... Does it say how much Paul got for being wrongly accused like this and being a railroad?
Thrown it away. Let me get it out of the trash.
At one point, they kicked him out of school. I mean, his life was really turned upside down by this thing.
I will tell you that they were very upset because they're afraid now with Betsy DeVos being the Secretary of Education that the days when rape was just swept under the rug is coming back quickly. So I'm just looking for a price or they paid.
Was that part of what they actually said?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Of course.
Can you believe they have, after they railroaded this kid, they have the nerve to continue to say that?
After they railroaded him, they've got to railroad somebody. It's what they do.
Yeah.
It's what they do.
Again, think of this, though. This is, we would all probably agree, is the second most serious crime that exists in humanity. outside of maybe murder. And we are like, oh, let's just let some people at school figure out who did it. Like, this is the exact reason
this is much more important than the people who are actually dying all over the world. The people who are actually feeling the oppressive weight. Hey, did I tell you? Doctor Who. Gender fluid now.
Oh, good.
So
good.
It's going to be great.
Well, they fixed that show then.
We fixed that show. Forget about everything else.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Oh, you're going to be so happy. And this does not fit into our theme today of you're living in a country that you no longer recognize at all. This falls right into the category of it's just like it's always been. Let me tell you a little bit about Belle Plaines, Minnesota. Belle Plaines, Minnesota, cute little town of about 6,000 people. One of the biggest events of the year is their annual 4th of July celebration. This was usually sponsored by the local park there. Various games are held, such as foot races, tug of war, watermelon eating contest, and horse racing. Later years, the Belle Plaines Fire Department was in charge of the evening fireworks, but the job has been taken over by Alf Albrecht, who performed that for many, many years. You know, in the old days, they used to have a horse race right there, right on the street, starting just east of the town. The finish line was that first house on Main Street. But everybody gets together in the local park for the 4th of July celebration. This little town in Minnesota, which is the first town in the United States to actually have on public property a memorial to Satan. And, oh, the kids are going to enjoy that next 4th of July.
It's just a little satanic monument. And some people might be a little taken aback by that, but you shouldn't be because, of course, the equal treatment of all religions clause in the Constitution.
There's no clause like that.
It's in the Good and Plenty of Church and State Amendment.
That's not in there either. That was just a letter that was written, but that's not in there.
It was a collection of letters written in the Constitution. Is what it was.
No.
There's an order that formed.
Again, I think you guys are wrong this time.
Well, that's the perception, Glennon. What do they say about perception?
Perception is reality. Yeah,
it is reality.
You're right. So you got that going for you.
Yeah.
So,
honest question: what do you think the percentage of people who say they're Satanists are?
Oh, that are actually got to be minute.
That are actually atheists who just want to make a point.
Okay, that's higher.
Yeah, right. Like, are there really Satanists? Like, I'm sure there's.
Oh yeah,
seven.
There's some.
But like, but
I think you're right. I think they're more likely atheists.
This memorial is not actually being put up by actual Satanists, right? The idea is they probably got a Satanist to get on board for them to make their point against Christianity. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong on that? I mean, I hate to, for all the Satanists in the audience, I hate to be offensive, of course, but
you don't want to demean them in any way.
It does seem like this is just an excuse to push atheism on everybody else, which is
let's look into it. This, according to WCCO, a small Minnesota town getting a lot of attention for its satanic monument coming to their Veterans Park.
Yeah, that's veteran. The special cherry on top.
Yeah.
The Veterans Park.
For fallen soldiers.
Yes.
That's what the monument is for.
The monument is going up for the Satanic Temple, which features an upturned helmet atop a black cube. Soon will be at the site of the Veterans Memorial Park in Belle Plaine. It's being built by a group of Satanists out of Massachusetts and be the first satanic monument on public property in United States history. It's going to be great.
So the people in Massachusetts were like, I just got to have a memorial in Minnesota. I've got to have it.
Minnesota.
We're going for Belle Plaine. This has been the goal of this church the entire time. We need to get a monument in Belle Plaine in a Veterans Park.
Well, let's see. The city is allowing the monument to be built after a religious freedom group threatened to sue over another statue, which features a soldier praying over a grave marked with a cross. City officials say the memorial, which is not inside the park yet, is finished, but they're still working on a date that'll go in. It has to be put in a small area called the Free Speech Zone. It's an area designated to 10 or fewer memorials, as long as they honor veterans. They say they were putting it up, and I didn't like it, said one resident. City Council member Carrie Koop said he voted against the designated free speech area. I don't think there are too many Satanists around here, but it is free speech, said Koop. He says they anticipated other groups coming in. We were warned against creating this free speech zone, and it'll be probably just as well that we didn't have one, that people could use private property to say whatever they wanted. Karnitz, whose husband is a veteran of the Vietnam War, says she finds the new satanic monument offensive. Of course she does. Yep.
Bigot.
It was approved a while back already, and it hasn't come here. I'm hoping that and praying that it doesn't come into the park. There is a protest planned at the park on Saturday during the city's popular Barbecue Days Festival.
I know we missed it this weekend.
Despite the name, the Satanic Temple does not promote a belief in personal Satan and that a religion can and should be divorced from superstition.
See, that's exactly what Stu said. It's a statement. Mm-hmm. It's a stinking statement against Christians. They don't have to do this. They don't have to cave into that nonsense. There's nothing in the Constitution that says you have to give equal space to Satanists. You don't have to. I wish we could get over this.
That's the sad. It's like all of these foundations keep crumbling. It's like if we can't trust the Satanists to tell us the truth about their intentions, who can we trust?
It casts some doubt on Wiccans at that point, doesn't it?
No, don't say that. Do not drag them into this, Pat. People who are outwardly praising pure evil, they may tell a fib. I mean, I'm going to be gone on the limb and say it's possible.
What the hell has happened?
How can a nation continue to be blessed?
Well, the city's cave, right?
They can't
threaten lawsuits in the city's cave because they can't.
Yeah,
spend
they
the
shouldn't,
money.
And they should not cave. They should not cave.
They don't have the money.
I mean, I just hear the words of Paulina, that woman I met in Poland, who was, you know, the righteous among the nations. The righteous didn't suddenly just become righteous. They just refused to go over the cliff with everyone else. We all know this is wrong. Mm-hmm. We all know this is wrong. We all know everything that I have told you today is just ridiculous.
Too many of us have bought into the whole, well, yeah, if you do it for one, you have to do it for everybody thing.
But it's not only
and we don't.
It's not only that. We've come to a place to where we're like, well, you can't fight it anyway. So just don't worry about it. What happened to the America that I knew? What happened to the America that stands up for what is right? It will even recognize what's right. We are just amazing how they have worn us out in 10 years. They have taken us and worn us out. It's what we talked about. They'll overwhelm the system.
Yeah.
And they did.
Mission accomplished on
and
that.
And now you just can't keep up with it all. You just don't, you're just like, you know what, I'm just going to.
I don't care.
Put up your pentagram.
I don't care.
Whatever.
A dog with horns or whatever.
That's got a helmet on the top. Fine.
I didn't mean to be, you know, demeaning to your dog with horns. I'm sure it's great.
Is it barbecue weekend? Let's go have some chicken.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Really?
And how long have you been saying that, too? I mean, we need to stop worrying about Washington, and we need to stop worrying about these things. Get your own circle, you know, straightened out.
I mean, here's a town of 6,000 people in Minnesota. 6,000 people.
Target one for the Satanists. We've always said it. Target one. They're like, oh, we got to get in there.
So weird.
So, I mean, obviously, these are just statements being made to mock the foundational aspects of this society and this civilization.
Oh, the last line tells you everything you need to know about that. Religion can and should be divorced from superstition. Well, that's just a shot at Christians.
Your superstition, but you know, the hardcore fact of Satan.
Right.
Like that. That's any less superstitious, quote unquote, than they think
God
is.
Well, no, that's why they're making this cube because they don't believe in Satan and they don't believe in God. And so why not?
Sir, I mean, even if you believe, that every religion has to be treated equally. At the very least, you should also, I don't know, require the religion to be represented by people who actually believe it. I mean, this is like, there's no standing for someone who's an atheist just trying to make a point. There's no standing for them to put up a Satanist statue.
That was one of Michael Newdow's problems when he was trying to, he was the atheist that is so famous for trying to eliminate God from every,
like Dalton money,
every and, section of our
you
culture.
Have no standing.
And he had no standing. He sued on behalf or something, I guess, of his daughter. Who he didn't even have custody of. She was with the mom. But he sued on her behalf, and they're like, well, you've got no standing to do that. She's not the one complaining. And so I think that's one of the things that eventually brought down his case and got the One Nation Under God part of the pledge put back into it in the Western United States. So
let me give you one good story here of somebody actually standing. A week and a half before they were scheduled to perform in Tel Aviv's Yarkin Park, Radiohead continued to battle the anti-Israel boycott, divestment, and sanctions, BDS movement. During the band's Friday night concert at a festival in Glasgow, Scotland, several activists raised Palestinian flags as well as a Radiohead hashtag cancel Tel Aviv sign and held demonstrations outside the venue, causing the lead singer to respond, according to Consequence of Sound. Prior to the band's performance, York reportedly exclaimed, "Some effing people," while staring out in the crowd. Radiohead have faced a number of protests over their decision to play Tel Aviv, including an event at Glastonbury, England, last month. Speaking recently to Rolling Stone, York described the situation as offensive and an extraordinary waste of energy,
nice,
saying, "I don't agree with a cultural ban at all," along with J.K. Rowling, Noam Chomsky, and a long list of others.
How about that? He's not caving into these Palestinian protests. In fact, he flipped them off.
Noam Chomsky isn't with it either?
That's amazing.
I tried to give you a happy story, and it ends with, "I don't understand the world I'm living in." Here's our sponsor this half hour. It's Blinds.com. If you've been struggling with where to start a home improvement project, look at your windows. You can start today with Blinds.com. If you accidentally mismeasure or you pick the wrong color, they're going to remake your blinds for free. Now, this is a business that was started by a family of designers and decorators, husband and wife team, that would go out to people's houses back in the 80s and 90s. And I think it was the husband that started to, you know, read about this information superhighway and said, we've got to find a way to sell this stuff online. And the family was like, "Dad, that's crazy. Nobody goes online." He said, "If we are there first, we're going to be able to make an impact." And again, the family said, "But you can't, how are you going to give advice?" He said, "We're going to find a way." So after all of these years, they have really perfected it. And this is why they sell more blinds, shades, shutters, drapes. They are the largest, I think, in the world online. They have a huge selection. They make it so easy that even if you mismeasure, they mark it down as their fault. And they will recut the blinds and send them to you for free. They send you free color samples so you know exactly what it looks like. And the prices are fantastic. Every order also gets free shipping. Now through July 18th, you can save up to 30% on select products at Blinds.com. Plus, you can save an additional 5% with the promo code BECK. That's Blinds.com. Save up to 30% on select products. Promo code BECK. Get an additional 5% off. Blinds.com. Promo code BECK. Rules and restrictions do apply.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Within 2 years, U.S. households may have more subscribers to Amazon Prime than cable or satellite TV.
I used to doubt those stories, but
I believe that.
That's
I so rarely watch television now. Well, yeah, you know, I don't watch it on cable or satellite. Rarely.
Amazon Prime, like video active users or Amazon Prime, the
video,
entire service?
Video active users.
Because, I mean, Netflix would be even further along, I would think.
I would imagine.
But, I mean, Amazon Prime is essentially, I think it's something like a third of the nation is already a member of Amazon Prime.
66 million households have Amazon Prime.
66 million.
Now, that is, that's compares to 90 million households that have cable or satellite TV. However, they don't know 66 million. They're not sure if that's a real number because they don't release the studies. They've just had to release their earnings statement. So they're saying that it could be as low as 60 million, could be as high as 85 million.
Wow. I've really, they are taking over the world, and it's because it's so good.
We're going to replace Comcast and Direct and Dish and all of that stuff. We're going to replace that with Apple and Amazon and Google.
I mean, look at the Emmy nominations that came out. Netflix got 91. And I swear I read that Bill Nye got one for his sex episode. Is that true?
He did. Yeah, he got a nomination.
How on earth? It's the worst of television I've ever seen.
Did you listen to the first part of the hour?
Because he's embracing
that. Because he's embracing political correctness, and he's teaching everybody what the new science is.
That's incredible, though. I mean, that one, it's a jokey example. It was so bad. I mean, look, Doctor Who will probably be really entertaining despite the changes that they're making here because it's well-done television, right? This is the worst piece of television anybody's ever seen. I mean, let's be honest about it. I mean, you throw on, like, the only thing I've ever seen worse was the video they said caused Benghazi. That's the only acting I've ever seen that was worse than that Bill Nye thing.
That's actually true.
It was that bad. It's just beyond the fact that it's making a ridiculous point in a stupid way, one in which Bill Nye himself has done shows disagreeing with.
Do you want an Emmy that everybody knows you won that Emmy?
It's the Barack Obama Nobel Peace Prize.
It is.
And no merit, no reason for him to get that.
Yeah.
And they just give it to him because it feels good.
He hasn't won. It's just a nomination.
The nomination is enough. That is objectively terrible television. Objectively. I mean, whether you like the point or not is completely separate from the fact that Bill Nye is just awful at this. And yet, I mean, he still gets a nomination. It's the world we live in. What? Glenn Beck Program, Pat and Stu, Wonderful World of Stu, nothing?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
If you're booking business travel or for maybe, I don't know, maybe you're thinking about escaping the country for some reason and you've listened to this hour and you're like, oh, wow, I need to get out of here. You might want to go to Upside.com. Why not save money when you're trying to escape? They save money for you in multiple different ways. We were just talking about Amazon Prime. One of the things they're going to do for you is they're going to hook you up with a gift card when you book with Upside. So you're going to save money, first of all, from other travel sites. Then, as a bonus, they're going to give you a giant gift card. A lot of times to Amazon.com. Then in addition to that, they're going to give you options to save even more money. Hey, you want to leave an hour earlier or an hour later? We're going to save you even more cash. Upside is the real deal. Forget how you used to buy your business trips and try Upside.com. Right now, when you use the promo code BECK, you're guaranteed to get at least a $100 Amazon gift card your first trip. It's code BECK to get a $100 gift card for free. Upside.com, the better way to buy business travel. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. It's Upside.com.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
So over the weekend, Elon Musk was with the governors, and he said that AI is a fundamental risk to human civilization. You have to hear his speech. He's trying to get somebody to listen to him. I hope that he is wrong, but we should listen to him. And we also want to tell you about a story that I think is absolutely unbelievable. A couple moved from Thailand to Texas, and they started a mom-and-pop wedding dress store. They started it in 1983. 30 years in business, located in Garland, Texas. It was just shut down by the IRS, which they claim they owed unpaid taxes totaling $31,400. Now, the family says we don't owe the IRS any money. Plus, we haven't been convicted of a crime. But that didn't stop the IRS. Wait until you see what the IRS has done to this immigrant family. We begin there right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is about a couple. They're both near 70. One's 72, the other one's 68. They moved to Texas from Thailand, and they wanted to live the American dream, and they have been, except they've been in business now for 30 years in Garland, Texas. The IRS says they owe them about $30,000. They say, we don't owe the IRS any money. We've never been convicted of a crime. 20 armed IRS agents came in, shut down the business in March, and they seized 1,600 designer wedding gowns. They told the couple they had to produce $10,000 immediately or the IRS would sell the dresses. When the couple said, we're not paying you, we haven't been charged with anything, and we don't owe you any money, the IRS agents sold all the gowns in 2 hours. Now, the dresses were worth $615,000. They sold them for $3.75 per gown. The IRS made $6,000 on $615,000. How do we feel about that, boys?
Efficient.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Government's doing a great job, aren't they?
They sure are.
They always do.
They always do. I don't know. This is such a strange phenomenon.
How could it happen in the United States of America?
How could it happen in Texas?
Yeah. It's outrageous. Not charged with a crime, not convicted of a crime, and yet they confiscate their entire inventory and sell it all. Just out of spite, it seems like.
The property has been wiped out. Everything that they had, they are now destitute. Everything they had built since immigrating to the United States before beginning their business in 1983 has been wiped out. Dallas Morning News reported the IRS said that they attempted to evade federal requirements by making multiple cash deposits under the $10,000 reporting limit. But the couple was never formally charged with breaking the law. So once again, it's the Patriot Act.
It's such a weird thing. They did this to Dennis Hastert, right?
Yes.
Which, again, it seems like he was very much involved in really shady stuff. But separate from this, he was taking out less than $10,000 because there's a reporting requirement for over $10,000.
Right.
But if you take out just under $10,000 too many times, that also becomes a crime.
We found that out during that Dennis Hastert case, that it's not so much the limit, it's the different.
Yeah, because if you do 9,500 or 9,900 a bunch of times in a row, they assume you're just trying to hide it.
Right.
Which may very well be true. However, if you have a standard, then what you're saying is it's very much Jennifer Aniston in Office Space, in which she would like
to. That's just what I was thinking.
I think what everyone's thinking. You want 15 pieces of flair. If the rule is 15 pieces of flair, and she's wearing 15 pieces of flair, then she should
What's
be fine.
Right.
However, the manager keeps saying, don't you want to wear more flair? Is the rule higher than 15 pieces of flair? Because if it is, I'll wear more than 15. But if it's 15, I'm wearing 15. And that's what the standard, we're all in that situation.
From 2005 to 2012, the IRS took from people more than $43 million in 600 cases whose assets had been taken and not suspected of any criminal activity except for having made deposits slightly below the $10,000 threshold.
It's so weird.
The sure Treasury is. Inspector General for Tax Administration revealed a report from 2012 to 2014 that the IRS has seized more than $17 million from people because they engaged in suspicious banking depositing patterns. But there's wow. no criminal activity. None of them had been charged with a crime. Current law does not require the funds to have an illegal source. They can just come and take your money.
But that is so weird. To me, it's not even right for them to know that there is a bunch of these deposits to even think of an indication to further investigate, let alone just to convict on the fact that they saw a bunch of people.
No, Stu, we have to be safe from the Muslim extremists. We have to be safe from the Muslim extremists. You know that.
That has
Stu,
nothing to do with that, obviously.
Yeah, that's what it does. Mm-hmm. That's what this is for. This is not for anything else. This is to protect us from the Muslim extremists and these guys who are in the bridal gown business since 1983 are clearly part of some Muslim extremist ring. Otherwise, it wouldn't have come up on, you know, the Patriot Act allows this, but that was just for, you know, making sure that no money was going to Muslim extremists. The 68 and 73-year-old Thai couple, clearly Muslim extremists, selling wedding dresses, the perfect front. Everybody knows it.
Well, how many times have we seen wedding dress owners.
Well, 600 cases where people weren't charged with a crime. So yeah. we know we've seen 600 cases doing that.
And then it's Connecticut, of all places, that has passed a law that is getting rid of this. This idea that you can go in and take people's stuff and without charging them for a crime.
Civil asset forfeiture.
Yeah. Which I don't think is the same as this. This is the IRS coming in.
Yeah.
It's similar.
It's similar, but yeah. I'm not sure it's the same. Civil asset forfeiture is they can come into your house and you don't have a receipt for the money that you might have in a safe, or you don't have a receipt for the money you have in your purse, and they can just take it because they suspect you of a crime, and so they say, just take it.
At its worst, there is a situation where they will come and take your stuff not only without convicting you of a crime, or charging you with a crime, not even without a real investigation of you as potentially committing a crime. They can just take it. That's not obviously that's not the way it's always used. But, I mean, it is completely out of control. And conviction is obviously the standard here. The issue is they can still take stuff from you. But if you go to trial and they don't convict you, then they have to return it. This is a crazy step in the way.
This is nuts.
It's nuts.
It is.
This is not who we are as Americans. If we don't get a hold of this, I mean, God only knows what is coming next. I mean, if we ever hit a really bad situation, what are you going to do? We hit a situation where the government needs to clamp down. They'll control every bit of your life. Every bit of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you gonna say about it? We're not saying anything about it now.
Mm-hmm. We just had a story a couple months ago about a couple driving through Texas. They were gonna buy a car. Remember this?
Yeah.
They got pulled over, and they had $10,000 on them to buy the car, and the sheriff took it. He just took it because they had $10,000 in cash.
Could have been a drug deal. But didn't we find out in that particular town? I mean, I can't believe we're saying this about America. In that particular town, didn't we find out that was something that happens quite a bit?
Yes.
And they threatened to take your child.
Yeah.
If you say something about the money, they threaten to take your child because you're an unfit parent.
That's nuts.
What kind of country are we turning into?
And this goes back to what we've talked about every single case and every single story that hits the news today, is you have to have principles. This is a constitutional principle. You can't just have stuff taken from you by the government. This is pretty clear in the Constitution that the government can't just come in and just rip stuff away from people. That is not what is supposed to happen in this country. And I don't know if it's because probably 95% of the time it is used against people who are dealing drugs and are guilty of doing those things. But it goes to the same point we talked about with, what is it, the Philippines. It's an extension of that same principle. Well, you know, drug dealers are bad, and most of the time they are killing people who are actually drug dealers. So therefore, let's not make a big deal about this. That's how these things swing out of control.
But 21 cases out of the 252 cases, okay, 21 cases out of 252, those 21 were actual crimes. Out of 252.
It's even worse.
So only 21 of them were actually ever charged with anything. The rest of them just lost everything and nobody said any.
Nope. It doesn't seem to be, there's not, you know, some of this would make some sense if it was easy for someone who's wrongly accused of something to get their stuff back. I mean, maybe you'd at least argue it, but I mean.
But see, this is the deal. We're not prosecuting anybody. We give them every excuse under the sun. How many times have you been deported? 60? Okay, well, we're going to turn around now and let you go. We make excuses for everybody. Nobody is held responsible for anything anymore. But this? We're holding you responsible for things you didn't even do. When you have Visa starting to put in their new program to go to a cashless society where they're offering businesses, I think it's $10,000 to go cashless. And you're seeing this now happen. There's a big story out today about how China is moving cashless. It is moving at a rapid, rapid pace. And everybody sees that as a good thing. Well, it sure makes this a lot easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you only have digits instead of actual cash.
Yeah, you can't take anything out of the cash. All you have to do is just shut down your digits.
And that's the problem, right? Because everybody sees it as a good, I don't use cash that much anyway. So, you know, no big deal.
You already can't take, if you wanted to take all of your money out of the bank, could you do it today?
No.
You have to give them a
almost certainly not.
You have to give them advance notice depending
unless
on
how much you only have $400
in there. Unless you're Jeffy, and then obviously you could. In fact, you do. Can you withdraw a negative amount? Is that possible? I don't know how you would.
No, you can't.
Okay.
Yeah, he's tried. If you had what the average bank account is, which is probably the average bank account.
Oh God.
$1,000 maybe, average bank account. You could probably take that out. But if you had anything.
If you have $100,000, you're not going to get that out today.
No way you're taking
that. Not going to get it.
I bet you can't take it out.
Let's say that was your entire life savings and you decided you didn't trust the bank. If you went down there today and said, I need my money out.
Well,
you couldn't get it.
I'm not sure that they would ever be able to. They would say that we have to call the Treasury. We don't have that kind of money at the bank. I would accept that. But I will bet you that you could not take that money out. Out of there with a briefcase in a week or 3 weeks or anything without some sort of harassment. You would pay dearly for doing that.
Definitely.
I saw a documentary about this in Potterville, I think it was.
Potterville?
Yeah, in Potterville.
No, it's not.
What is it?
No, it's not Potterville.
No.
I'm not helping you.
Just a shameless effort for a
Jimmy Stewart imitation. That was sad. Wow. That was a sad and pathetic
one. Sad.
I mean, it really is sad.
By the way, $2,900 for the median account, 9,132 average bank account.
$2,900?
But that money's not there.
You're working for Potter now.
That money's not in the bank. Right?
Right.
Right. It's,
and that's what he said.
What?
Yeah, it's not in the bank. It's with Jim and Sarah. You're gonna foreclose on them. And I think that mean guy would have. He would have
because he was a bastard business person.
Yeah, he was. He only cared about himself.
Yeah, he was trying to make a profit.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
I hate businessmen like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we should. I wish there was a network that would show movies. That hated businessmen like that.
Long.
You know, where they do a month out of the year, maybe around Christmas, where they just show how evil the businessmen were.
It started this past weekend.
It was Christmas in July weekend.
Oh, you're gonna be
what was it, Hallmark?
All weekend long. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
So
they're showing
Hallmark was doing Christmas movies this weekend.
It was on all day yesterday.
I was getting many tweets about how the Christmas cookie movie was on, and it was very similar to
anybody watch Game of Thrones?
No, I did not watch it last night.
But do you watch it?
Not enough to be able to tell you about it now.
It's a big, obviously a big thing, and everyone watches.
We're into 7 or 8 seasons now, and it's been on for a long time, and I've been... People have been after me to really get into it, but I've got so many other shows, Glenn.
Yes, you do.
I can only keep up with
you're too busy with all the rest.
It is the golden age of television.
It is. It is.
Golden age of television.
Do you watch it?
No.
It's very, it's quite risque.
It's a big guy show. It's definitely a big guy show, so you two may have to think twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw one scene where it was a great scene where some guy, the king threw somebody through a hole in the floor or something. And it threw his wife or something through some hole in the floor down in the mountains. It was a weird... I enjoyed that scene. I thought that was really good, but haven't gotten into it. Now this, predictability. You say that, when I say that, you look like you've never seen that scene. So this must be what it's like all the time on Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Predictability is boring. Pro Flowers makes it easy for you to surprise somebody. It's making it even easier with a special offer for you. All you have to do is go to Pro Flowers, look for their farm stand flowers, and you get 20% off the collection or any of their other unique exclusive bouquets for $29 or more. Flowers are guaranteed to stay fresh for at least 7 days or your money back. And you get to pick the exact date of your unexpected surprise. So... it would be unexpected for somebody else, but not necessarily for you. ProFlowers makes it easy. 20% off your farm stand flowers right now or any other bouquet of $29 or more. Go to ProFlowers.com. Use the promo code Glenn at checkout. That's ProFlowers.com, promo code Glenn. Don't wait to make somebody's day. Go ahead, do something unpredictable. Do it today with ProFlowers.com, promo code Glenn.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
We are back. Hello and welcome to the program. You know, talking about the digital currency and trying to get your money out of the bank, this is one of the reasons why they say Bitcoin is really starting to take off. And they look at things and say, gold is always known as a safe haven, but Bitcoin, people are worried even about gold or silver now because things are getting so crazy. And what is Bitcoin up to now?
It's over 2,000. It's actually down quite a bit from its real peaks, which was almost 3,000.
When was that?
A few weeks ago.
That's a few weeks ago. That's when I bought
3,000. So it's down to 2,000 now?
Quote unquote down to about a little over 2,000, which is,
now's the time to buy it.
That's old. What I thought of 3,000. Yeah.
I mean, who knows? There's a big technical issue coming up in the next 2 weeks.
So we're doomed.
Which is a scary proposition for it, not to go into too much detail on it because it's basically the most boring thing you could possibly talk about. But
so much of Bitcoin seems to be that.
It is. I mean, it really isn't.
It's really a crazy bet to make, in some ways.
But with crazy
because
upside.
You don't. Yeah, with crazy upside. I mean, it's the kind of thing you lose everything or you gain everything. It's really nuts. That's why you don't put your life savings in there and you don't invest in it. Except for everything that you're willing to lose. If you're a betting man, it's a worthwhile bet, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, hit about 3,000 about a little over a month ago. Now it's a little over 2,000. However, you go back just 3 months, it was at 1,000. So it's still up 100% even
it's
after
crazy.
Coming off of its highs. And if this technical issue winds up working out somehow, it could go a lot higher.
I read a story last week. This is crazy prediction, but Bitcoin, 20,000 per coin soon. I mean, wow. Because the world is so unstable and no one knows what is going to follow. Back in a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
You guys see what Elon Musk said at the mayor's conference this weekend, or the governor's conference. It was quite astounding to see him speak, saying, we really need to do something about AI. He says that AI is going to change the world, and not in a positive way. He says that AI is a fundamental, quoting, a fundamental risk to civilization. He says it's a fundamental risk to the existence of mankind. On the artificial intelligence front, I have exposure to the very most cutting-edge AI, and I think people should really be concerned about it. I keep sounding the alarm bell, but until people see, like, robots going down the street killing people, they won't know how to react because it seems so ethereal. He said we should really be concerned about AI, and that emerging technology presents a rare case where the government should be proactive in regulation instead of reactive to industry. By the time we're reactive to AI, regulation will be too late. Normally, the way regulations set up, a whole bunch of bad things happen. There's a public outcry. And then after years, a regulatory agency is set up to regulate that industry. There's a bunch of opposition from companies who don't like to be told what to do by regulators, and it takes forever. That in the past has been bad, but not something which represented a fundamental risk to the existence of civilization. Car accidents, airplane crashes, faulty drugs, bad foods are merely harmful to certain parts of society. But AI will affect all of society. I'm against overregulation for sure, but I think we better get that with AI. I really think we need a lot of government regulation here. Robots will be able to do everything better than us. I'm not exactly sure what to do about when machines reach their potential. This is really like the scariest problem to me. I lose a lot of sleep.
Clearly, he talks about it all the time.
Yeah. It's really why he's going to Mars.
Yeah.
I mean, most people don't really realize that. That's why he says he's going to Mars. He believes in
escaping
this.
AI.
Yeah, he says this threat is so bad that if humans aren't on another planet, they risk extermination from AI.
Every Elon Musk speech is like as the opening music is running in some apocalyptic story. Like those are they're showing these like old timey clips of some guy predicting terrible things, and then you just join the present day with like 12 people left on the planet.
Yeah.
He's
freaked out beyond even you, I think, Glenn. Isn't he?
I don't know.
I mean, you don't even. I know you've got fears and concerns about AI.
I am really concerned
and
about AI.
And I have some too, but I'm not like Elon Musk over it.
The problem with AI is it doesn't think like us, and that's what we cannot predict. And we've just learned this from, what is that, Mahjong or something? What is that game? The Chinese game that's harder than chess?
Yeah, more complex. I don't remember, but it beats the masters at that game.
Okay, so AI remember when Big Blue beat, Kasparov? He accused IBM of cheating. And they're like, no, it's AI. But it took them like 3 years to beat Kasparov. So there's another game, this Chinese game. You're looking it up, Pat.
Yeah.
And it just beat the master, the grand master of this game. It's supposedly far, far more complex than chess. It beat the master, and the master said, it's an illegal move. You can't make that move. And they started going back and looking at it, and it's not an illegal move. It's just a move that no human had ever thought of, and it won the game quickly. And it apparently, they're saying now, that AI can beat the top 50 masters all combined at this game.
Is it Ki Jai?
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway,
I haven't played it for a while. Yeah. Pat, so
what do you think about his approach there, though? It's interesting in that, you know, Elon Musk is a business guy, but certainly very friendly with government. Gets chunks of money every time he sells one of his products from the government. Also, is a friend, a big green energy guy, like certainly is on board for overregulation, even despite that last claim, at least in my opinion. However, if you go and you overregulate artificial intelligence, you wind up with what? Japan, China, Russia, who's leading the way instead of us? Because
we're not going to be able to regulate them. It needs to be global governance,
though, is
hang on just a second. We have to come up with something like in the movie iRobot, you know, the three principles. We have to come up with that. See, go back to the game. It doesn't think like we do. So they're saying now that AI almost has to be introduced to humans like a baby. And it's because you will say, wait, whoa, whoa, watch the furniture. And you will say the same thing. Hey, 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 be careful of the baby. And it won't know the difference between the baby and the furniture. It doesn't know So you have to teach it the value of everything that it's going to encounter. Well, we don't even know the value of life. We're having that discussion now. Life is sacred if...
Unless you're too young or too old or not too wanted sick. Or too sick.
Or don't have a...
Too poor.
Don't have a life worth living.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have we heard, well, it's you have to have X, Y, or Z government program or life isn't worth living.
Right. So they're saying that it could quickly learn in a completely different way than we're expecting.
Yeah, and that's what happened. The game is called Go.
And, that's what it is. Go.
And so this machine called AlphaGo was taught how to play. And at first it lost, but it learned. Mm-hmm. And it developed this unusual style of playing that nobody else played like. And mm-hmm. so that's how it started. And the grandmaster, who was only 19 years old, tried to play in the same unusual style and still lost. So a little interesting.
Yeah, you want to talk about asymmetrical warfare. It's AI.
Yeah.
AI will have... it will be so asymmetrical to our puny little brains and the way we think. And it will literally be introducing alien thinking to the world. It will not think like us. It will learn and think in an entirely new way, which will be great.
There are going to be a lot of positive ramifications of that, too, by the way.
It will be great.
Things that have stumped us, like cancer cures perpetual motion machines and
but
all the things.
We can't even as a society agree on basic things like what is truth? How are we going to teach AI absolute truth when we don't even agree with absolute truth? We don't even know what absolute truth. We have no boundaries on anything. If you can do it, you should do it. There is no such thing as good pain. There's no such thing as good failure in today's society. So what do we become? Elon Musk said the transportation job sector it accounts for 4.6 million jobs. It's going to be the first thing to go fully autonomous. The robots will do everything bar nothing. Various technology companies are racing to build better AI systems to stay competitive in the market. Facebook with Messenger, Apple with Siri, Amazon with Alexa, some major consumer examples. Around the corner, AI-powered autonomous cars. Service companies like Uber that is increasingly waving AI into its ride-hailing app. Musk said, we really need the regulators to come in and say, hey, guys, we need you to take a pause and make sure we've thought this thing through. When it's cool and the regulators are convinced it's safe to proceed, then you can go, but otherwise slow down. Complicating matters is the fact that the biggest companies developing AI right now are publicly held, and stockholders will demand the company aggressively stay ahead of the competition when it comes to developing AI.
I don't know how you can regulate this.
You can't.
You can't. You could try to do something where you come up with best practices among the industries involved and try to, you know, set it down those basic guidelines. And you could try to treat them like nuclear weapons. That's the only other type of thing. And again, even that is obviously not easily self-controlled. But this stuff will start creating itself. It's successful, it's going to advance on its own, and you're not going to be able to stop it.
Here's what he said. You're going to see robots that will learn to walk from nothing within hours.
That would be something.
He said, while killer robots are easy to visualize, the most dangerous threat is the deep intelligence in the network. He said they could start a war by creating fake news and spoofing email accounts and sending out fake press releases as a way to manipulate information. The pen today is mightier than the sword. How are you going to outthink DeepMind? How are you going to prove that something? Remember, the Russians just perfected the picture of Neil Armstrong on the moon, except the American flag was replaced with a Russian flag, and the American flag was on his shoulder was replaced with CCCP. And they offered, I think, $100,000 to anyone who could prove that that had been manipulated. They now say that they have perfected artificial manipulation of pictures where you can't tell that that is not a real photo. That no investigation can tell that that's been digitized and recreated, changed. How are you going to, I mean, do you remember back in the 90s? You won't believe your eyes. You won't believe in anything anymore because everything will be fake and manipulated and you won't know what's real or not.
What I'm starting to fear is the actual willing start of that. In that, like, there's so much crap out there anymore, I find it more and more difficult to care about it. Like, I just, my answer to everyone lying all the time is to just not believe anybody and just blow it off. Which, as a society, is not a good reaction. Hopefully, I'm the only one doing that. But, I mean, I don't think I am.
No, I do not think I am.
You just wind up realizing, you know, more and more, so little of this stuff winds up mattering in your life that it's easy to just kind of blow it off, and then there's nobody guarding the gate.
So Jason, who works for us, he does research, and he came in. I came in this morning and went to his desk. He was working on something. He said, "Have you read Cheryl Atkinson's new book yet?" And I said, "No." He said, "Oh, you need to." He said, "A good portion of it's dedicated to you." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "She does an expose on how they really perfected and how everything changed because of you. How the left learned how to discredit and smear." He was telling me stuff. She did research on what they did to us, what they did to smear my reputation. I didn't even know half of it. And it's in her new book, apparently. And he said that she's claiming that it was how the left poured money into trying to discredit me.
That might be somebody we need to have on the air.
Yeah, I think so.
We've had her on before.
It's apparently, I have not read the book yet. We should grab Jason and just see what he says, because it was fascinating in the, you know, in hallway talk.
Did she cover how they chose us to work with you to try to destroy you from the inside? Did they go through that whole process?
North Korea may have more nuclear bomb material than we thought. Thermal images of North Korea's main nuclear site now shows that they may have reprocess more plutonium than previously thought that can be used to enlarge its nuclear weapons stockpile. They've already tested 5 nuclear bombs. Officials and experts say they could test a 6th at any time. This is such good news. I'm really bumming myself out today. I've got to work on a happier show for tomorrow because I'm bumming myself out today. There's a new report out from President Reagan's budget director, David Stockman, and the report identifies 5 threats to the economy. This is a commercial sponsored by Goldline. In this report, it's available for free. He says that there are 5 things that could collapse this economy. There are many others. I was talking to my wife about this weekend. Yeah, she had a happy weekend. And I said, you know, that there are those who are saying that this is all lining up to be the fall of 1929, which was the big stock market crash. I hope not. But, man, there are so many things in the air that nobody is talking about because they're yelling at each other about fake news in Russia. For the love of Pete, pay attention to what is really going on. Watch the other hand. There's an exclusive report. It's available now by calling 866-465-3546, 866-GOLDLINE. Also, they're extending their price protection programs for as little as $2,500. You'll get 3 months of price protection all the way up to a year for $25,000 of investment. Call GOLDLINE at 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Talking about the president's poll numbers are down now, but they're going to go back up. I think this attack that he's using to go back and attack the press is actually going to work for him. This is the lowest numbers any president has had in this time in his presidency, at least in the last 70 years. I think that goes back to Truman. Does it not, Stu? Do you know?
Yeah, the story I read went back to Truman, although Truman was very obviously in 1945 popular. But they just don't have the numbers before that.
We'll give you the numbers, what the strategy is and what the president is doing, what his surrogates are doing. And the press is just, I mean, did you see the handshake thing that they did?
Oh, God.
I got it. Guys, really, seek some medical attention. We have that and how the left perfected this coming up.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America, and welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. So glad that you're here. More on the Russia-Trump thing. Trump started to swing back this weekend, and I think it's actually going to help his poll numbers, which are the worst of any president in the last 70 years at this point in his presidency. Did the left hurt themselves and really cause the reaction that Americans are having to this right now, where they're yawning and saying, huh, all right, so move on. Is that something the left did? How does the left work? We have a little insight on that beginning right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. We are glad that you're here. There's nothing really new in the Trump front that you need to know about with the Trump-Russia scandal. That's not going to stop the news media from reporting on it for hours and hours and hours and hours. But there is nothing really new here, except what the president's own people came out and what he tweeted about this weekend. We have gone from there was no collusion to, well, collusion's not a crime, and there was no crime here. And that actually is accurate so far. What we know is fairly accurate. That's why there's an investigation, and the media has nothing. When you look at the poll numbers of the president, he's down to 36% approval rating. Stu, were you surprised by that number?
Not really. If you look at it, he's been actually pretty stable approval rating wise for about 2 months. Since about mid-May was when he fell to the levels where he kind of is now.
He was at, what, 42?
Yes. However, that's misleading. The ABC, I think it's an ABC poll that came out and said that.
Yeah.
The reason why that looks so bad is because the last time the poll was taken was April. So he had a fall off in mid-May that has he stayed pretty darn consistent since mid-May. The issue is that poll was taken before that drop-off, so it looks like a bigger drop than is real.
So he didn't, when you look at it, as the weeks go by, he didn't really drop off because of the Russia scandal?
I mean, certainly not this late. I mean, the latest meeting is probably a little too recent to see anything. I mean, I don't know. When would you say the Russia scandal started? I mean, mid-May, 2 months,
no,
right?
I would say, no. I would say the scandal really, most people thought it was ridiculous. You know, I don't think anybody has changed their minds. No, I've changed my mind. I did not think that we would ever find anything like this.
Like the email.
Right. I didn't believe in collusion for a second. No collusion. That was ridiculous to believe. Now you look at it, and there was at least a willingness to collude, and the Russians did reach out and say, hey, we're on your side. I never thought that. I thought the Russians just wanted to cause chaos. And, you know, I still believe that Donald Trump just may be a useful idiot to Vladimir Putin and not know that, you know, not know how this works. But, you know, this this guy that is his friend over in Moscow is known now, we found out over the weekend, is known as, you know, Putin's fixer. So he is directly tied to fixing Putin's problems.
Is that
problems.
The same guy from the pageant?
Yes.
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 He's Putin's fixer.
Yes.
Okay, good.
So,
but you know, some
of this, I don't think Donald Trump knows that or knew that.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Some of the poll stuff is a little overblown, I think, in that, you know, like they're talking about him being the least popular president at 6 months of any in measured history. However, he also started as the least popular president of any in measured history. So it's not, you know, yes, he's fallen. He's fallen at a middle of the pack rate. Compared to other presidents, it's not like, you know, I mean, Gerald Ford is the most crazy example. He was a plus 68 and then he pardoned Nixon and he was minus 6. So he fell by 74 points, kind of the weird outlier there. But Barack Obama fell more than Donald Trump has in the first 6 months. Bill Clinton.
Oh, I think he
Jimmy
is,
Carter.
I think he has a strong base. I don't know what you're going to do to shake his base. I don't think there's anything you could do to shake his base.
Yeah, some polls are showing that he has literally lost zero support of people.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that.
And I will say,
I think his support will go up. If this is all that turns up, I think his support will go back up.
The indication is the support is softening. The polling shows when he started, they break it up to strong support and lighter support. That a lot of the people who were strong supporters have navigated themselves to lighter support. So they're still kind of approving, but not a strong approval.
I don't see a heck of a lot of evidence of that.
I don't either.
Like the guy we played last week from Washington, that talk show in Washington, who cried.
Yeah.
He's in desperate straits, it sounds like, financially right now. He's just hanging on by the skin of his teeth. And even he is not disappointed in the job Trump does because he believes Trump's been blocked at everything he wants to do.
May I suggest that the left caused this problem? The media and the left caused this problem, and it just started with the inauguration weekend when they were marching during his inauguration. Well, what the hell are you marching against? You knew what you were getting. He's the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. Everything from the very beginning has been a scandal. And so when you actually stumble upon one, nobody cares or nobody's listening to you anymore. You have zero credibility. I think the media has caused this by not taking a moment after the election and saying, okay, wait a minute. What were we doing that caused half the country to look at us with a side eye? For instance, we brought Jason in. He said that I stopped by his desk this morning and he was reading a book by Cheryl Atkinson. What's it called?
The Smear.
And I didn't even know this, but I apparently am a chapter in this book.
A good portion of a chapter.
Okay. And what does it say? What is the book about and what's it say?
Well, it's funny. When we didn't even know that you were going to be in this book. So I was like, I better read all through this. It was fascinating. But we saw actually a picture of your eyes on the book. And we're like, wait a minute, So I skipped to this portion, and it was all about how throughout history, the media has basically upped their game a little bit when they want to, you know, try to do a smear campaign or just spread fake news. And they pinpointed when David Brock and Media Matters went after you at Fox News, and they did their whole Dump Fox campaign. as a significant point where this completely spiraled out of control. I cannot believe the stuff that you guys went through. I mean, this is a crazy illustration. Like, she goes into talking about how David Brock and Media Matters at the time were so linked into the media. Like, the media would, they would, like, quote Media Matters, and they would just take their research as just fact.
Absolutely.
It still happens.
And then they would listen to every single word that you would say. They hired a team of reporters, multiple writers who would already have these articles already written up. Yep. They would seize on one little thing, blow it out of proportion, instantly distribute
it out of context, make it look like something it wasn't.
And that was actually based off of a model that they ran off of to ditch Imus. They took that and were like, how can we take that model and up that game? Let's wreck Beck. And that's actually the title of this section is Wrecking Beck. But it was to say, like, they hired private investigators. And this is all in internal memos between David Brock and the guy named Carl Friesch, the guy that I think he tried to get Howard Dean elected. He was a Democratic strategist. Mm-hmm. They all went to work for Media Matters. And an internal memo, they were like, let's hire private investigators. Let's follow him everywhere he goes. Let's stake out every single event he goes to. Let's follow him around. Let's get any kind of dirt we can to use against this guy.
Yeah, it does sound familiar.
And then they launched other organizations underneath that were getting 100,000, 200,000 donations. All the tons of money was going into this, specifically to target the people that were running ads on Fox. It sounds exactly almost like they did the exact same playbook against O'Reilly, it sounds like. Yeah. No, the exact same thing.
No, it's, I mean, this is absolutely true.
Oh, yeah.
We
knew a lot of that was going on.
We sat in my office, I don't know how many days, and said, we could expose this today and no one will believe us. No one will believe what's been going on. I mean, they went through my trash. And it was on both on the right and the left. I am going to write a book about my time at Fox, because there's a lot to expose on the right and the left of what was done to me and my wife and my family. It was shocking what was done, and more so only because of where it was coming from on the right. When the right started doing it, I lost all hope. I was just like, oh my gosh. And the only thing that saved me, how many times have we said this? The only thing that saved me was I didn't have any skeletons in my closet. I mean, they paid, we had both
that's,
the right.
And let's be clear, that's just because you've opened the closet for everyone.
Oh yeah.
It's not because you haven't done anything horrible.
No, I've done, you know, all kinds of stuff, but I just let everybody know and said, okay, this is who I am. And so beat you to the punch. And
I mean, it might not be the entire closet. How much cash were they offering?
So this is what they learned it there. And this, their mistake is, I think they're overplaying their hand. They're too cocky now. They think that they can just take Donald Trump down. But Donald Trump, and this is why he's popular, is people instinctively know what Cheryl Atkinson has written. And what's the name of this book?
It's the
Smear.
The Smear. How shady political operatives and fake news control what you see, what you think, and how you vote.
Okay, so people instinctively know that.
And it's interesting you say that, because she makes the point at the very end. She was like, so there, the entire machine that was built around this and mostly perfected by what they did to you was that, hey, you go after them, you go after them, you go after them, you either get them fired or you force an apology. And then they'll have to retract or something. That's how it's always worked. That's how they've always played it. But Trump was what she called the wild card. He was the first one that didn't play it that way. Wow. They came after him with an allegation, and he shot right back at him. And they were like, whoa, we don't know how to deal with this. He didn't apologize. He didn't step back. And for the first time, his supporters were like, see, that he
that's
has
why
resolved.
He won.
That's why he won.
He won.
And then eventually they were like, well, wait a minute. We don't trust anything that the media has been saying. They were wrong about, you know, they said that there was no possible way he could win. They were wrong about this. They're wrong about that. So now everyone is teamed up against him and it's completely backfired. Completely backfired. Mm.
We have to get Cheryl on.
Oh,
and have her on to talk about this. Does she pick up at all that the right is now doing this? Because the right use the same tactics. They'll use the same tactics on us or anybody else that stood against Donald Trump.
She goes on both sides. She talks about, I mean, she goes all the way back about how the left actually, David Brock was actually a conservative hitman back in the day. Remember Clarence Thomas when he was going for running for Supreme Court?
Yeah.
And he went after, I think it was Anita Hill at the time. The right were actually some of the biggest perpetrators in all of this. So she goes back and forth the entire time.
Yeah, well, we're not different. That's the one thing I did learn when I was at Fox. We're not all that different. Mm-hmm. There are those operatives that will do whatever they have to do just to win. And their winning looks almost identical to the other side's winning, which was mind-boggling to me. Thanks, Jason. Our sponsor this half hour is Simply Safe. Getting a good night's sleep is easier when you know your home is a fortress. Your home and your family is going to be protected with Simply Safe. When you install your Simply Safe home security system, you're arming your home with powerful sensors that will actually tell you if a door opens or if a window breaks. There's a 105 decibel siren that alerts you the first sign of trouble. You also have a dedicated team of security professionals watching over you 24/7, ready to send the police. And with Simply Safe, there is no long-term contract. So if you just want your home watched over, and have the alarm actually just alert you when you're home and not call police, or if you just want your home watched over when you're gone and have it call police, you can just do it month by month. There's no contract. You call them up and say, hey, I just want you to watch my home this month. Cancel at the end of the month. $14.99 a month, round-the-clock professional monitoring. Don't spend another second listening. Did I hear something? Simply Safe. Having their biggest ever summer sale right now. Get $100 off their exclusive summer package for this limited time only. So go now to simplysafebeck.com. Get an additional $100 off simplysafebeck.com. I will make a stand. I will raise my voice.
I will hold your hand. Because we have won. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Oh, my God. Listen to this. A spat of recent articles corroborate what I've already suspected, writes Reason Magazine, that holding elected office is the neurological equivalent of getting kicked in the head by a donkey. Dasher Keltner, a professor at the University of California, Berkeley, found that subjects under the influence of power acted as if they had suffered a traumatic brain injury, becoming more impulsive, less risk-aware, and crucially, less adept at seeing things from other people's point of view. In other words, power turns people into sociopaths. Well, I suppose it could do that, but I don't think it has to do that. I mean, I don't think that we all have to look at power like Frodo looked at the ring, do we?
I don't think so.
I mean, I think we've seen it happen many times before, but there have been people who are not like that in the end.
Not very many, but some. There are some. Are you interested in the engineering of super dogs and test tubes in China?
I love this. This is crazy. Have you seen this dog yet, Stu?
I saw a picture of it, yeah.
Okay.
It looked like it was Photoshopped.
If that's real and not Photoshopped, that's unbelievable. The dogs are being bred in test tubes to be more muscular, and they wind up having twice the muscle mass of their natural counterparts. They're stronger, they're faster. And the next step, supposedly, with the Chinese, is to do this in humans and create weaponized superhumans.
Oh, that's great.
For, soldiers.
Fantastic. Yeah, Hitler didn't get that done. And
Maybe they can get it done.
Well, they have enough disposable humans, don't they?
Yes, they do. I mean, they think they do.
Yeah.
1.4 billion people is
a lot of people. Yeah. They don't care. Yeah. That is terrifying.
I think so. I think it is. And we've seen the dog.
Don't you think we're getting to the place?
The superhumans or the super dogs?
Both. Both are terrifying.
The soldier dogs.
Yes.
Yeah, the soldier dogs would be bad enough. The soldier people would be also very bad. Just thinking. Are we approaching a place to where if you're religious at all in nature, you're like, God won't let us past this point?
Why? Super dogs is the...
No, I don't think it's super dogs. I think it's super humans, artificial intelligence. This is the, kind of the point.
They're getting into a scary place. Yeah,
yeah, robot it's a soldiers place where you're like those superhuman Chinese butt.
Does anybody over in China or does anybody in Silicon Valley, do they have children? Do they at all worry about the future? Like, you know, Bob... That sounds like an interesting idea, but maybe we shouldn't do that. Does that ever, is that word ever spoken?
It's possible, but there also has to be the feeling that every single major technological advancement over the past 150 years was greeted by the same type of stuff. I mean, it's all, we're always fearful of this new stuff. And
yes, super intelligence is different. Artificial intelligence
is
always different. It is as unpredictable as a visit from the sky. Somebody, you know, all of a sudden there's spaceships around the world, you know, ringing the earth. Do we think that that's going to end well?
It because might. This is, I mean, if it solves cancer and it solves every disease and it could go through and change the way that we don't have to, you know, spend hours and hours coming to radio shows to put food on the table. Can you imagine the incredible advancements that could come from this? We all pray and hope it could do things. It could make food
Quite
more
honestly,
plentiful.
If it could just make the TV news go away and bring me blessed sleep, I'm for it.
Because, I mean, there is a point where you look at the Matrix situation where you're kind of just in a bath. You're in a bath of goo in a pod somewhere, and it kind of sounds good. I mean, you know, right now...
I wouldn't get out of it. I'm not taking that pill.
Which pill do I need to take to get back to the pod? That's the one I want.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
Yeah.
When that movie came out, I was not with you.
No, I would be like, oh, no, I want to go into the gutters and fight. Nah, let's just give me the pod.
Give me the pill.
Give me the pill.
No, I'm totally fine.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Hello and welcome to the program. It's from the Mercury Studios in Las Colinas, Texas, where it's about 9,000 degrees. And we're happy to be free, but we wouldn't mind a cooling trend from time to time. Who was it that saw a weather forecast that they said we haven't had a good hot summer streak yet?
There hasn't been a good streak yet, yes, here in North Texas.
How about June to now?
It hasn't hit 100 yet, though, has it? Maybe once?
Oh, I think just the heat index, right? I don't know that it's actually been a lot.
It's usually like 18 or 19 days during the summer, but that's coming this weekend, apparently. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, don't speak too soon.
I was in California. California just has the perfect weather. California, why did they wreck it?
I don't know.
Why did they wreck it so? It is so perfect. But you could look at it this way. If they hadn't have wrecked it, it would probably have maybe 260 million people living there.
Yeah.
If everybody could afford to live there, that's where everybody would live. Because it's just beautiful and perfect.
And it's because of the heat and humidity that 200 million people don't live in Texas.
Yes. I can't even imagine the state without air conditioning.
Yeah. Well, more people are moving here than any other place. Maybe some of them are like me and enjoy the warm weather.
You enjoy this?
Oh, totally.
You like it when it's humid?
Do you really? This humid?
No, I mean, it's not the most preferred, but I would choose this over most places else in America.
Good heavens.
Oh, my gosh. No way.
I mean,
I'm from the Mountain West, man, and I can't handle the humidity.
I got out of church yesterday. The steering wheel was 7,000 degrees.
Oh, my gosh. The car.
Start it for the end of service so the AC is running?
Oh, excuse me, Thurston Howell.
Mr. Planet Killer?
Pat is just too concerned with the environment to do something like that.
Environmentally aware.
I did think about buying one of those yesterday. I got out of church and I got in my car. I was like, it is so hot.
And don't touch the seatbelt metal.
Your kids can really burn themselves into the car.
I lived in Arizona. It is worse in cars in Arizona than it is in Texas. Arizona is surface of the sun hot. When you open up your car door, forget about it. Just forget about sitting down. Everybody brings a towel. You have, yeah, I like that. Ooh, I like that one with the black interior. Welcome, welcome to Arizona. First summer here.
When you're in the Northeast, people buy automatic car starters because of the winter. You get the car started.
Yeah.
Here, you use them in the summer. And so my car has one, but it has this feature where it starts for 10 minutes and then turns itself off. Wait, 10 minutes of running air conditioning on full blast in this state is not enough.
No, it's not.
Like, you have to do it three or four times to get it to a normal human temperature to be able to get in the car.
It's bad.
It is. It can be really rough.
Yeah. So welcome to it. I went to a double feature with the kids Saturday. I went and I saw Spider-Man, which I loved. It reminded me very much of almost like Michael J. Fox, Back to the Future kind of vibe. Spider-Man, I thought he was great. You know, there's a couple of lines in there, that, you know, make it PG-13, but I thought it was great. I loved it. And I did not want to see it. I'm so sick of the reboots.
How many times have they rebooted that thing?
Yeah, yeah. It's Sony. They kept doing it over and over and over and over again. This is Marvel. So, and I expected Tony Stark, you know, I expected Robert Downey Jr., who I think is dead inside by now. He's like, I'm a real actor. It's like I'm a clown at a, you know, kid's birthday party.
Oh, he basically says that about these movies. Like, I was going to do one of these, and now I've done it so many times, and I keep saying I'm not going to do any more, but I keep doing them.
Yeah,
he phoned it in on Iron Man 3 or whatever that was.
No, he didn't phone this one in. Good. I mean, you know, it's not Shakespeare, but it's not bad. There's one scene where you hear his voice, and you're like, I think he literally phoned this part in. but I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was really good, and I had given up on the Spider-Man.
I've heard
series.
Really good things about it. It's supposed to.
I liked it.
Some have said it's the best one of the series.
Oh, by far. I think by far.
It's interesting because people say you escape when you go to the movies, and you can tell Glenn's opinion on the world the more movies he sees, which is like now. Every single weekend, you've seen every single movie is essentially where you are.
I do use the movies. I thought about that this weekend. I sat down for it because Rafe and I first went to Planet of the Apes. We've been waiting for that for months and months and months.
Yeah.
Like a year ago when if you had the Planet of the Apes, Rafe cheered in the movie theater. We're like, we're going opening weekend. And so he came back. So we watched that and then we watched Spider-Man. The girls joined us for Spider-Man, and I did think of that. I thought, man, I am escaping. Mm. That's all I'm doing, just escaping.
So how was Planet of the Apes?
Loved it. Jeffy is ridiculous.
Mm. Oh, I told you that if you liked the other two, that you would like this
best
one.
Best of the three.
No, it's not the best of the three.
Best of the three.
No,
yes, it is.
Isn't it sort of anti-human again, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Humans are the bad.
Yes. Of course, yes.
Beings,
yes, of course.
The apes are the good ones.
Get over it. Yes,
I can't.
That's the premise. That's
the premise.
That's the premise.
It's been that way since 1972.
I can't take it.
It's been anti-human.
Not in the original 68 one. Maybe since 72, but the original with Charlton Heston.
Get off me, you dirty ape!
Yeah, I thought the apes were the bad guys in that one.
Well, the apes were the bad guys in the other ones, too, some of them. I mean, Caesar is the good one. And there are bad apes in this one as well. It's the deal is they're just like people. And the people don't realize
Except
that the...
Except they're better than people.
Except no, they're just...
They won't kill each other, right? You never kill another ape.
Yeah, they do.
You're not supposed to.
Yeah, they do. You're not supposed to, but you do.
I mean, that's Caesar's rule.
Yeah.
Ape, don't kill ape.
Yeah. I will tell you, the CGI is unbelievable. You believe they are real.
Yeah, how the motion capture. I mean, that's
how did they get those chimpanzees to talk to each other? It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
I love how far CGI has come. It's pretty amazing.
So here's the thing. I said to Rafe, and I'm not spoiling anything.
No,
I'm not going to say anything about what's happening on the screen. I won't. But I said to Rafe at some point during the movie, I said, this is the Moses story. And he went, yeah. And I'm like, don't talk down to me. You haven't even turned 13 yet. Don't talk down to me. Mm. And He said, Dad, you just caught on? And I said, yeah, when did you catch on? He said, the first movie? What?
Yeah. I didn't look that deep on this.
So we're driving home and he tells me all the parallels of the Moses story. And you'll see it in this one. It's absolutely clearly based on the Moses story.
And of course, it's the apes who are Moses. No doubt.
Well, Caesar,
but of course,
Caesar also is his side.
I don't know if I could handle
his side is pierced at one point, like the other so he two? Might be Christ.
Not really.
Did you enjoy, then you won't enjoy it.
Not really.
Oh, you didn't like the other ones?
Not really. I mean,
I loved this.
They're okay. They were just okay.
Yeah, I thought they were. I liked the first one, and then the second one. I'm like, okay, I get it. I get it. Mm-hmm. And this one, I really liked. And Woody Harrelson is really good in it. He plays a good psychopath, surprisingly. Mm. He plays himself. Caesar says, aren't you the guy from Cheers?
And that's a weird line.
Yeah.
I thought you said you weren't going to give any of it away.
Oh, crap.
I think all of this, though, is just killing time until the release of Atomic Blonde in theaters in only 2 weeks.
Thank you very much.
We are all very excited about that here.
That's going to be
so
fun.
So have you ever seen 2 Days in the Valley?
Yes. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, my gosh. One of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah, it's her first. It was her first movie. And James Spader, one of the first times I ever saw James Spader.
What happened to him? Wow.
Oh, he was great in Boston Legal.
Yeah.
And then he's still
Boston
doing.
Boston Legal is what, 10 years ago?
No, he's still doing something, or was, Blacklist or
something big like that.
Oh, that's right.
That.
Something does
big
have,
like Blacklist.
Yeah. A Netflix show.
I think that's ABC.
That's NBC, I believe.
Oh, is it?
NBC, ABC. CBS, one of the networks, but Netflix has picked up the past episodes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, and I watch it. It's way too dark for my taste.
Yeah,
but
it's pretty big guy.
But it's, I love him. I think he's one of my favorite
actors. That movie is great. Anyway,
sure, he loves you, too.
It's hilarious.
2 Days
it's
in the funny. Valley?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's great.
What did you just say?
I said, sure, he loves you, too. I remember right now.
No doubt about that.
They talked about you on Boston Legal. Didn't they trash you on Boston Legal in one episode?
Oh, they've trashed me on some of the greatest shows of all time.
Yeah, that's
Simpsons,
true.
Boston Legal.
I was sitting with somebody in Hollywood, and they said, have you ever been featured on The Simpsons? And I said, featured on The Simpsons? Homer played me for an entire episode. Yeah, I think I've been three episodes of The Simpsons. One full.
I think South Park, too.
We should get those. I don't have it. We should catalog all those things where they just ripped me apart. Those were the days.
There were a lot of fun ones.
Good times.
They were. I laughed.
Good times.
Yeah. You know, Donald Trump, if they were doing to me the Saturday Night Live stuff, I think that's hysterical. I don't think there's a higher form of flattery. And the only way that you diffuse that is laugh at it. Donald Trump should go on Saturday Night Live with Alec Baldwin and make fun of himself better than Alec Baldwin.
That will never happen.
It will never happen.
It's not his style.
But it's not his style. But that's the way you diffuse that.
It's funny. These things came so fast. I remember watching a rerun of Saturday Night Live. I don't know. I guess it was maybe late last year. And it was from the time of the primary. And it started with a monologue from Ted Cruz talking to the camera. And in it, you're mentioned in the monologue. Glenn Beck is mentioned in the monologue. Think about what a weird life it is that Saturday Night Live could mention my boss, the guy I'm in the room with every single day, and we didn't even get word of it. Like I didn't even know it occurred. We went through how many months before we even discovered that it happened? I mean, you're just learning about it right now by the look at your face. Yeah. I mean, and that has happened so many times now. And it is actually like I admire the stamina of Trump to be constantly offended by it. Like it's like to me,
right? Sooner or later,
Point you do go dead inside. We were just talking about that Cheryl Atkinson book where she talks about what they did and how they perfected the art of the smear on me. And Jason, who's reading the book, said, "I can't believe what you guys endured." And I think we were off the air when Stu said, it just came a point where it was every day and we didn't even pay attention to it anymore. It's just, that's the way your life is.
Yeah.
And so it just doesn't, it really doesn't affect you. And it is pretty incredible how it still affects Donald Trump.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why, some of the people who point out that this Trump is just doing this as part of a game, There's some, like, from our perspective, I don't believe it from him, but I mean, from our perspective, there is something to that. And that there were times, oh, I remember reading articles from things like Media Matters and being like, this will just be a fun break. I don't, like, I didn't look at it as an attack anymore. It was just like, oh, how can we use this to make the show good?
Yeah.
Like, it was really, like, it wasn't something where it worried.
If I were on Donald Trump's staff today, I would be making a how to shake hands with Donald Trump video. And I would be making fun of CNN did a second by second analysis of Donald Trump shaking the hands of the French president.
Mm-hmm. Went on for 28 seconds.
I'll give you, it's weird. He has this power handshake going on where he pulls you in and you can't get away from him.
Yeah.
And, you know, they talked about it. I mean, even Hillary Clinton, I saw a report where she was learning the art of the handshake of how to break it off with him. Now, he's perfected it, as you would see in this 28 seconds. But it's, I mean, that's CNN. That's what you're down to. You're doing a literal second by second. Here, watch this move. Watch this move. Watch this move. It was bizarre. But I would, if I were Trump, I'd be doing the same thing, how to shake hands with Donald Trump, and make fun of it instead of just bashing them. Do something funny and they become a joke. Instead of something that is angry, everybody starts to laugh at them. And there's nothing that makes dictators or people who are high on themselves like the media more angry than making a joke about them. Now this, Mercury Real Estate. Benefits of going to realestateagentsitrust.com extend beyond just selling your home and extend to buying your home as well. Greg lives in Ohio. He was moving his family to Texas, and he was looking for his forever home because he's smart. He's getting out of Ohio and moving down to Texas. And so he found an agent named Micah. Micah would go and tour these homes, and then he would send Greg pictures. He would do, you know, FaceTime with him and video and say, you know, what do you think about this? Then Greg and the family would provide recommendations, and Micah would do the same. Hey, I think you really want to live in this area, et cetera, et cetera. Finally, they found the right house. Greg was connected with the consultants and the contractors and the specialists. Micah made the appointments and ensured that everything went well without a hitch. So when Greg got down here, the house was ready. That's realestateagentsitrust.com. Thousands of families just like you have had their homes sold on time and for the most money and have purchased a home through realestateagentsitrust.com. Go there now. Sell your home fast and for the most money. realestateagentsitrust.com.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
So, Stu bought himself a house over the weekend.
Congratulations, Stu. Congratulations.
Really excited about it. He has never been a guy to buy a house. He has always believed in renting.
I still do. And, strongly.
Strongly.
You just
bought a house.
I didn't want to buy it. But
congratulations
I
on
you.
That.
Thank you. That's what everyone kept saying.
Giant liability.
Yeah, that's everyone kept saying that to me this weekend. Like, hey, congratulations, you bought a house. Oh, yeah, I have the largest liability I'll ever have. I own 10% of it, which is great. So thanks. I appreciate that. Because it's totally different than when I was renting the house, because we rented this exact house before we bought it. And it's like, well, it feels the same, except now I'm on the hook for the entire real estate market. Hey, this thing I can't control now controls my finances. Wonderful.
Congratulations.
That's great. I just want to go out.
So the good thing is you bought it at the
peak of the market.
Top of the market.
Absolute peak.
Oh, we won't be laughing long.
No.
All right. We'll see you tonight with the Think Tank at 5 o'clock on the Blaze TV. Don't miss it.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.